Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life. This is Paul.
And this is Jeannie, and it's so much fun to have you with us.
Yes. Once again, we're happy to greet you. And the last time was pretty exciting. Jacob, on the run, lays his head on a pillow, has this fantastic dream where God meets him.
He was so unaware of God's presence with him before then. And yet God was with him and he didn't know it. And we talked about how often in our own lives we might be so wrapped up in the crisis or emotions or our fears that we don't even sense that God's right there with us, leading and guiding us. And so this is, I think, really comforting and cool because we can identify with this.
Yes.
So God was with him. And it says here that verse 18 in Genesis, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put on at his head, set it as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if this is interesting because it almost seems like he didn't have much of a personal relationship with the Lord before this point, and now he's just got his eyes open, which fear does that to us very often. Strips away everything else.
It's like, God, where are you?
Yeah, God, we're not busy. We're with all the other things that are distracting us, and all of a sudden we're desperate to hear God. So it seems like this is a real meeting of his heart with God, and so he's listening to God, and he's making this almost bargain with God. So it says that Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, well, God just told me he was with him, but he says, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and then this tells you his fears, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, which Jesus made it clear, if we put him first, he'll take care of our food and our shelter, right? Verse 21, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So maybe it's just a confirmation. All of this is going to happen as a confirmation to myself and others that the Lord is my God. Verse 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So in his gratitude, he's recognizing he's going with nothing.
Yeah.
And he's holding on to the promises that God is going to have his seed be like the sands of the sea, that he's going to have all this fulfilled in his life, which he doesn't see any of it right now. And that when this happens, before it happens, he's saying, I'm going to give God a tenth. So I think that's pretty cool.
I do. And I don't look at it as, you know, well, here's the law kind of thing coming down on him.
It's a gratitude.
Gratitude. He's responding to God.
Right.
You know, for all the good that has come my way.
And he's also making a declaration to anybody else that God is the one that gave this to me. So I think when we look at a new job that we get, you know, we could have that, well, Lord, if you give me this new job, then I know that if I prosper in it, then I'm going to for sure going to keep up with my ties. But it's making a statement that God's with you. God's the one that's providing, and you never can go wrong when you're putting the Lord first and trusting his promises. So it's all pretty wonderful. But we will see that as this all gets fulfilled years later, and we're going to see that as we read through the scriptures, and he doesn't know any of that yet, that he will tithe to the Lord, and he will be faithful to give God glory and give God credit for where he's at. So then Genesis 29 says, so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east.
Okay, he makes it.
I want to backtrack just a little bit with his dream.
Sure.
In the dream that the Lord gave him, we, you know, have heard it mentioned many times, Jacob's ladder. What does that mean?
What is that all about?
And the thing that he sees is angels going up a ladder from the earth up to heaven, from heaven down to earth, as if they're messengers or they're on assignment.
Yeah.
And I think that there's, you know, so much going on behind the scenes that we're just not aware of. We live in this one dimension, and there's this whole other dimension that's going on. right now, all around us, and we don't see it. You were mentioning about Elijah and how he was with his servant and he was in a war, remember?
And they were surrounded, and Elijah looked like he was calm. Yeah. No big deal.
No big deal. God's got this.
And the servant, who I believe his name was Gehazi, he's going nuts.
Freaking out.
We've had it. Look, we're surrounded. This is terrible. Uh-huh. And then Elijah,
looks at... make a prayer and say, come on, Lord, open up his eyes.
He looks up to heaven and says, Lord, open his eyes.
And so he has his eyes opened. And then he, along with Elijah, sees behind the scenes and he sees the army of the angels that are doing the battle.
Right. He says, we're not surrounded. They're surrounded.
Yeah. And so I don't know if it'd be presumptuous of us, but to say to the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. We're to trust him in faith without seeing, but knowing that this is going on, that there's times that we could ask the Lord, open my eyes. You had mentioned Jesus talking to Nathanael. This was in John chapter 1, right. Verse 45. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he's saying, we found the Messiah. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him. And I think this is so cool. Oh, to have Jesus say this to this man. He said that he saw him and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit.
Yeah. So Nathanael's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not all the Israelites were good guys.
Right.
But even just as a person, whether he was a Gentile or a Jew, to say that there's no deceit in him.
He's
there's
got
no
good
guile
character.
In him.
He's not up good. To anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's sincere. Even though he made that remark about what good can come out of Nathanael, he might still be a little cynical.
I don't want to treat him too bad because maybe he is saying the Messiah is going to come out of Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
But what good thing or what? There's no scripture that says about a prophet coming out of Nazareth.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to put something further together on the two of those. Jacob sets up the stone that he was laying his head on, and he anoints it with oil, and he calls it Bethel, the house of God. And here Jesus, born in Bethlehem, as was told, now Nathanael sees that he comes out of Nazareth. Say, well, I know where he's from, and I know his dad, Joseph, thinking that was his dad. And it tells us, sometimes we think, oh, well, something really special has to happen in order for God to be there. Well, there's a rock out in the desert, and he calls it, the house of God. And here's a little whistle town. Stopover on the way to Jerusalem, Nazareth, and Jesus came out of Nazareth. So, don't despise small beginnings, or if you don't think that you're too little, or it's not, precious enough a place, God will meet you anywhere.
Okay.
Okay. No, that's extra credit points on that one.
Okay. So now we understand a little bit more why Nathanael made that comment. Verse 48, Nathanael said to Jesus, Jesus told him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there's no deceit. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Pretty cool. This is all really exciting stuff. It is a wonderful thing for any one of us to consider, God sees me. I could be out in the middle of nowhere under a fig tree and God sees me. God sees you, folks. God knows you. He loves you. He's made provision for you. Father, bless my brothers and sisters today. Encourage their hearts as they follow you all the closer. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. See you.